Welcome. This is Winning That Life. It's a daily wrap. Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Get the phone so you can make the call. 504-260-0995. Utilize the Winning at Life app as well.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Hey, so we're going to talk a little bit about the live event that's coming up next week, and we'll give you some financial news that happened. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, Hall of Fame Financial Advisor. And we love taking your calls, 504-260-0995, or you can give us a call or text from the Winning at Life app. Cool little piece of audio here, Gregory. I just wanted to surprise you with this. I know we didn't talk about it before the show, but you'll like it. Don't worry. When you talk about, every once in a while people call in, what do you think about foreign investing or getting into emerging markets? And generally speaking, that's, boy, there's a whole lot of gray area in there, and it's pretty cloudy. And just generally speaking, China, for instance, they just don't have real credit markets. That's a quote from Gregory Ricks. They just don't have true credit markets. I found a great example of that today, Gregory. This is from Charles Payne on Fox Business. And I went back and I had to read up more on this story, but this is where my adventure began today.
Things are not looking good for their economy, especially their bond market. Chinese government now ordering banks also to start buying corporate debt. They want to help that. Think that would help stem this sort of plummeting bond market there. Also, bondholders have agreed to receive payments in the form of pigs, ham. That's right. After one bond went belly up, that's what they were offered. No cash, but come pick up a pig if you want to.
I saw that.
I thought that was absolutely fascinating.
I don't know where I saw it at, but actually two of the team members were discussing something in the break room this afternoon, some bartering. And I said, well, you could do like the companies that have defaulted on bonds in China. Mm-hmm. I said, you could do what they're, and they said, what? I said, you could give them some ham.
Okay, now
trade some ham. This, and one of them said, well, I don't like ham. Well, that's all there is.
Well, when you hear that, how do you think they were actually compensated? Did they get, because pork bellies are a common commodity, and if you're in the markets and someone says, you know, I'm gonna throw some pig at you, they usually mean pork bellies. Do they actually mean a big side of ham, or do they mean you're gonna get some shares, or are you gonna get some paper that entitles you to the proceeds from ham? Or the door number three is a coupon for an actual physical pig. Which out of those three options, what do you think they actually got?
Repeat the three.
Okay. One is you're going to physically get a side of ham. You're going to get the pork bellies in proportion with what you're owed. You're going to get the physical commodity. Or you can get the paper to where you on paper own the commodity and you can get the proceeds from it. You can turn around and sell
it. I'll go ahead and give it to you. You're getting a proportionate part of the pig. No,
you're getting a coupon for an actual live pig, Gregory. I had to go research and go through about eight different articles before I found the one that actually spelled it out. It's literally you literally get a piece of paper that you can go take to this company, Chu Ying Agro Pastoral Group Company. That's the guys who defaulted. If you go take that to them,
they have some pigs. They're broke, but they have the pigs.
Yeah, and they're in a weird situation because apparently the swine flu is destroying China right now, and they're having a big issue with it. And so that's part of the reason that these people got behind on their debts. But an actual physical live pig can be had with these coupons. In China, that's looked upon as a great deal. Apparently they view pigs different than we do. I mean, maybe it's a cultural thing. Or maybe it's they just so rarely get to eat a meal that's consistent of so much meat that I don't know what the deal is. But here's the deal. Whenever you see changes in contracts like that, this has to be approved by the government. So the government's okay with that. So that's not a real credit market. Have you ever bought a bond, corporate, municipal, whatever, and then turn around instead of either them defaulting and you having to go through whatever that process is, or you actually getting your interest payments, or you turn around and reselling it? Were you ever offered a live animal in exchange for the interest payments?
No, I've only seen it done in movies.
So there, that this is just something, tuck that in the back of your memory. Next time someone asks you about emerging markets, and I'm not talking to you, Gregory. I'm talking to the guy listening. Or next time, you know, your brother-in-law says, yeah, you just throw some money in China or make a lot of money if you know what you're doing overseas. I mean, you might end up with the pig. So I'm glad you heard about this story, too.
I thought it was hilarious.
All right. Now, other than that, there was some more stuff going on about China and their credit markets. Now, check this out. Their amount of distressed bonds, Gregory, at the beginning of the year was zero.
A report in Bloomberg saying that their distressed bonds now add up to all emerging markets combined. And when the year began, they had zero.
So if you took all the other emerging markets, consolidated all their distressed bonds, China has more than all of them combined. And that is a sharp turnaround from what their situation was just in January. This isn't their running order of things. They're having some bond issues, and it's kind of a new thing that just started this year. Or this round of it started this year.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we keep an eye on China. That's how they're going over there. I'm not too worried about them becoming the dominant superpower of the world when I read stories like this. Or I'm less concerned about it. Right, they still got the IP theft and a bunch of other weird stuff going on in South China Sea, but the pigs, the bonds, I think we're going to be safe for a while. Weird things come up in the break room, huh?
Well, I just threw out there, I guess it's China's guidance. You can't pay, you know, the company, if you can't pay off your debt, well, start giving product. Well, what if it's a car company or something? Can't pay you, but you want a car? It's not finished, but you can have it.
This sounds like something that could be welcomed if we were in The Walking Dead season 10. You know, like this is almost to the point of civilization they're at on The Walking Dead, where if they have a big order, we'll just pay in pigs. Because their barter system's advancing.
How I would describe that to me, my visual take of that is chaotic markets. Chaotic.
All right, we'll take it.
Hey, here's some facts for you. Only 18% of American workers are very confident that they will have enough money for a comfortable retirement. 18%. Only 41% of workers have tried to calculate how much money they will need to save for retirement. 45% of workers are not confident they will have enough money to pay medical expenses. And it's a lot more than you expect it to be on medical expenses. 61% of Americans lack confidence in Social Security's ability to continue to provide benefits that will match or exceed today's benefits. That's from the Employee Benefit Research Institute. So it kind of holds the numbers that we have talked about. When you look at, say, the 45% of workers are not confident that they will have enough money. Well, we know that money for retirement and to pay medical expenses. Why? Because they don't have any money saved. We know it's more than 50% of the people don't have enough money saved. They have less than 100,000. So that would show in those numbers for the lack of confidence there. And then the confidence in Social Security, they're dependent upon it, but they're not confident either.
I'm suspicious of one of the numbers. The 41% of people say they've actually tried to calculate how much they're going to need to save.
Only 41% have tried. Well, it's tried to calculate. Do they know if they're saving enough?
See, I think that number, this is my theory just from what mostly we've gleaned on the show, that number is probably closer to 20%. And the other people who answered yes just don't want to tell a pollster, no, I haven't even done the most basic attempt of figuring out what my retirement's going to look like. You know, these are embarrassing questions to answer in certain directions. And from what you see, like when people come into your office, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to ballpark the figure, but we have plenty of stories of people who've never sat down and figured out how much they're going to need to save, or they don't know how much they're going to need to spend. I mean, they figure all this out as part of the process.
And one of the questions that is really important to that a big part of that discussion is, how much are you going to need a month? Because you have two things. It's either how much do you need or how much do you want? I don't mind them answering both. And sometimes I get it, well, as much as I can. I get that.
That's my answer. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we'll go back to what would you want? Probably at least to be lateral to make what you're making now would probably be a want. The need is, what does it take to pay the bills every month? So that's a net number I'm looking for. Then we'll figure in the gross amount. We'll back it up to that to see where do you have to be. And then where are you on the path? And what's the retirement window you're looking at, and what are you looking at there? Will you have the income and the ability to generate a reasonable income from those assets and income sources that you have?
And you know, that first number, only 18% of people are confident, that doesn't bother me at all, because you could be doing everything right and still not be completely confident. That doesn't have me worried that people aren't ready. They're just not confident that they're ready.
Well, they probably have a primary income source, or know they've built up quite a bit of assets, a reasonable amount of assets. You could still have a disconnect where they're, you know, let's say they have $2.5 million in assets, but they're expecting $300,000 a year in income. Well, they better have more income sources than those assets.
Yeah, because it's a little optimistic.
Yeah, because you're not getting there based upon that. You're way short.
All right, if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, yeah. You're hearing the music. It's Friday. Did you get paid? Is it going to make it to Monday? I hope it makes a bunch of it, makes it part of that savings to grow and compound. I'm your host of Winning at Life. I'm Gregory Ricks. This is Live Financial Talk Radio. We do this every evening at 7. Give you an hour of today's news, ideas, and talk, and take your calls as well. Tomorrow we're doing this from 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock. Yes, 3 hours of talking about money. 504-260-0995. You can email me, text me, even call me from the app. And you can go ahead and download the app if you don't have it. It'd be your wallet's favorite app. And I've already seen that we had downloads happening even before I've mentioned it on the show.
2 seats left for next week's event. If you want to come to Gregory Ricks Live on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. at Ruth's Chris in Metairie, you might want to go ahead and make that call. Here's the deal, though. If you call or you can't make the call immediately and you have to leave a message and you're worried that you may not make it on the list, well, look, there's going to be a round of confirmations. And if someone cancels, you can get slid right up in there, or we'll go ahead and put you on the waiting list. And the first Gregory Ricks Live that we have in 2019, you'll go ahead and have your reservation. We'll give you a call back and confirm it then. But call the office, 504-832-9200, to reserve your seat for Gregory Ricks Live. Hey, I'm kind of looking forward to tomorrow's show, Gregory. Wes Blanchard's our guest, and we're going to get to review a couple of calls that we had from this show where we kind of looked at each other and said, man, it'd be nice if Wes was here, but he wasn't. And one of them is a call that we've gotten on a regular basis, but in far intervals between. We've gotten this call a few times, but not very often. And that's the guy that's passing away, sizable estate, but no real close family that is going to inherit it. So how does he set that up? Does he leave it to a friend? Does he leave it to a charity? Does, what kind of structure does he need for that? Does a will take care of that? Does he need a trust? You know, he wants to do some good with it. And that's going to be an interesting one to run by Wes Blanchard, because he's the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. I'm really just split on that situation to begin with, because on one hand, it kind of feels sad. I'm a guy that's married with four kids, and I got tons of family around me. My wife has a huge family. I have a huge family. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to not have close blood relatives, you know, at arm's reach, at least digitally at all times. But then again, this guy never knows any different. He's not, he didn't sound like he was missing out on anything, but what an opportunity he has to actually create a legacy. You know, like when you see a monument with "this was donated by so-and-so or the family," or, you know, it's really an opportunity to do something good.
Yeah, he does have that chance to do something good, but yeah, I guess if he's not had that experience you were speaking of, then yeah, he doesn't necessarily know what he's missing, but would like to think he did experience some of that when he was younger. Hopefully that's the case, but knowing that, hey, people move on depending on how long you live, you know, you could outlive a lot of people. You know, I'm trying to recall my grandmother. I think there was 12 of them as siblings go. And she was the youngest, and she outlived all them. So she outlived her parents, of course, and she, because she lived to 98, and that meant she outlived all of her brothers and sisters. And two of her kids. So, it can really wind down like that.
The good part is there's another scenario that we've talked about on this show before where you need a similar approach to estate planning, but it's for the wrong reasons. There was a rich guy who he had gotten remarried, and his new wife had a bunch of kids, but apparently not everyone got along. And so he set it up, a trust, to where it'll take care of his wife when he's gone, but she can't give any of that money to the kids, and none of that money's going to any of the kids, period. The rest of it was going to these charitable ideas that he had. And there was a lawsuit that the kids and the widow had put together to try and challenge it. But I just remember the result we came to on the show was, because he used a trust, it's pretty well bulletproof, and they're just going to have to eat it. So, but hey, that guy ended up doing something good, but he wasn't in such a great scenario as the guy who called in that we're going to ask Wes about. The number of Americans getting unemployment benefits has fallen to the lowest level since July 1973. And that's when we had...
That's huge.
That's when we had significantly fewer people in America. I believe we were just a little over 200 million people, and we're flirting with 320 million these days. But the unemployment numbers dipped by another 1,000 this last week. 214,000 in the 7 days ending November 3rd, according to a report that was released yesterday. Actually, the forecasts of economists polled by MarketWatch were expecting it to be even lower than that. So we continue to get good news on the jobs front. Lowest level since July 1973. Did you look up the population of America in 1973? Is that what you typed in over there?
I did not.
Oh, okay, because I saw you type in right as I was saying that. And... the U.S. economy is likely to set a record for the longest expansion ever by next year. Yeah, you couple that with the shrinking pool of available labor. Companies are being forced to pay higher wages. And in a time when normally you may be concerned about inflation in such a scenario, because you add in the yearly deficit as well, we happen to be going through quantitative tightening, which... in theory, kind of mops up some of that excess money supply, the inflated currency supply, and sort of has a weird little offset. I mean, this is just me theoretically chopping it up with Gregory here. But there's a lot of weird things going on, and the economy still seems to be doing pretty good. All right, let's talk about what it takes to join the 1%. Are you cool with this?
Yep.
All right, because when you say the world's 1%, what do you mean the world's 1%? Like the richest 1%? A lot of times, especially in tax scenarios, when people talk about the 1%, they're talking about the people who earn the top 1% of income earners every year. You know, because and it goes both ways. A lot of times when people are talking about the other side of the tax argument, they say, well, the top 1% of income earners pay something to the order of 80% of all the taxes, and that's not fair. So I decided to give you both. If you want to be in the 2018 Global Wealth Report, if you want to be in the top 10% globally, you don't even need six figures. A net worth of $93,170, of course, in U.S. money, is enough to make you richer than 90% of the population around the world. We're not talking about income earners. We're talking about your net worth. $93,170. If you want to join the global 1% in America, your net worth gets a little bit higher. $871,320. Wow. That's huge, Gregory. $871,000 in just net worth to be in the top 1% of wealth in America. That might be a little higher than I thought.
Well, those 401ks, getting a lot of people there.
Very true.
The ones that are topping $1 million.
All right, so 19 million Americans are in the top 1% here worldwide.
How does it feel? Some people are like, saying, no, I don't feel like it.
You know what? That's a good take on it. So there's probably some people here that have assets above $870,000. Right. You just found out you're in the top 1% of wealthiest people in the wealthiest country in the world. It's got to be like, if you're having a bad day, you'd be like, all right, maybe things aren't so bad. You know, like you got stuck at the red light or there's a traffic jam.
Yeah, it could be worse. I'm not in the top 1%.
Right. I could be in the top, 2%. That'd be awful. But the 102 million Americans are in the top 10% worldwide, far more than any other country. Here's where it gets nasty. How much money does it take to be in the top 50% globally? If you want to be richer than half of the people on the planet in just net worth, $4,000 gets you there. If you have a net worth of $4,000, you are among the richest half of people on the planet.
That's pretty surprising.
If you own a Les Paul guitar and you have no other outstanding debt that pulls that out, you're in the richest half of human beings, period. If you have a 15-year-old Toyota Corolla that's paid off, just that gets you in the richest half of human beings in the universe. I'm just trying to make it sound bigger. All right, so let's move it down to income then. What does it take to be in the top 1% of income earners? Top 1% of income earners, you can break it down. Maybe we'll break it down by state next. But it's it's on the second page. You know what? Maybe we'll just do it after the break. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. And the radio.
Welcome back. Winning It Live Financial Talk Radio. Ooh, what a week. So much to talk about. Even just from a political standpoint, it's like, this is Live Financial Talk Radio. It is Winning It Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. If you'd like to choose a show topic, you can just get the phone and make the call. 504-260-0995. You can text, email us through the app. And in a few minutes, probably when we come back from the next break, I'll give you a list of some of the new downloaders. Don't worry. first names only.
All right, I have to pay off the tease before we were so rudely interrupted by the commercials there. If you want to be in the top 1% of income earners in the United States, it's going to take you a little over $250,000 in wages a year. And this is weird because in this number, I try and dig, and I was trying to find the total number, but this one doesn't include dividends and capital gains because they're not wages. So for take it for what it's worth. For people who earn money that way, that's what it takes to be in the top 1%. In the world, if you want to be in the top 1% of income earners out of all the human beings, period, it takes just a little bit over $34,000. So if you're making more than $34,000 this year, you are doing better than 99% of human beings with a job.
I don't know, but that's just not a fair comparison. You would need to look at the industrialized part of the world. You have to, you know, compare it to Asia, Europe, U.S.
Well, that's why I give both numbers. I give you the American number, and then I give you the world number. I think the world number is good only for perspective. You know, just if that can't put you in a better mood, finding out you're lucky enough to be the top.
It could be a lot worse.
Right.
Absolutely.
So be grateful. But if you just look at America, this is going to make you feel a little better. Yeah, we'll get to phones in a second. But if you want to know where the rest of these ranges fall for percentages, how much does it take to be in the top 10%? Of income earners in America? 90,000. So if you're making more than that, congrats. Fantastic. You are in the top 10% of income earners. This is where it gets great, though. The top 40% of income earners. You know, we talk about economic mobility. We talk about people.
Top 40%, yeah. Probably 60K.
Well, see, here's the deal. The 40% number is important because once you're in more than just the top half, you're in what could be considered not a loser status anymore. If you're in the top 40%, there's no way you could be considered a failure at life if you're in the top 40% of the population, right? I mean, it's hard. You're above average, right? $35,000 is all it takes to be in the top 40% of income earners in America. So when people talk about how, you know, the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poor. No, apparently a lot of poor people can get up in the top 40% pretty easily. All it takes is really just one good job or two horrible jobs. All right, phones now. Pat Belchase, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Hello. I have a Social Security question. I understand that we paid less into Social Security last year. And I've been tracking how much that I should be getting when I retire, and it's gone down by $26 a month. Is that correct? And can you explain to me how it's determined how much I'm going to get for Social Security?
That's interesting. And you're currently still a worker, correct?
Yes, sir.
How many years have you contributed to Social Security?
Well over 30.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically based upon your best 35 years there. There is inflation adjusted on this, and there's essentially three tiers. It's just not one number averaged out. There's three tiers to when you get to break down to how they figure, and each tier's a little bit different, but you've actually seen anomaly where you did contribute last year and you saw your average go down. I really couldn't answer that unless there was regarding some of the inflation adjusted or averaging. Are you looking at it also and looking at your statement each year and making sure you're getting the proper credit that showed up on your 10 on your W-2, the Social Security wages?
I do get on my Social Security often, but I've never actually looked year by year and compared it to my taxes that it's the same amount.
See, that's one of the reasons we recommend you go to ssa.gov and actually log in and create your account, is to go back and look at that. You have a little better than 3 years if there's an anomaly to ask for a correction.
Okay.
And the other reason is somebody, if you've logged in and created your account, nobody else can, but that's more important for those that are reaching around FRA full retirement age at 66, where typically those accounts could possibly get hacked for that reason of that timing, so that they can go back and get 6 months lump sum and be off for that money before it's figured out. But this is the other thing is to, and that means regardless of age, not that you're almost to draw Social Security, regardless of age, you want to be able to go in there and make sure you're getting credited each year. That could possibly, there could possibly be an error there that could have caused that. But actually, if you'll listen to tomorrow's show, I'll do a little bit of research and see if I can come up with what else might cause that anomaly. Cover it in the first hour tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever done that printout, though, the My Social Security statement?
I do have it from when they were mailing it to us each month, but I have created my ID. And like I said, I'm on there all the time because I'm wishing for retirement quicker than what it's really coming.
Yeah, so, if, when you print your Social Security statement, I have mine here. Mine is on page 3, where it shows where your contributions are. And Gregory's...
Now, did your income drop the past few years?
No, sir.
Okay.
I've gone up each year. And so, like, the taxed amount that I'm looking at on the screen now for 2017 is actually... $6,000 less than the year before, and I actually made $10,000 more. So I'm not sure why the taxed Social Security earnings is so much less.
Well, there you go. That could be what's affecting it. It's interesting that you called and we brought that up. And that's an important reason. I think everybody should be checking that.
Yeah, and Pat, well, I did my statement last year. When I reprinted it this year, my estimated payment dropped by more than $300. And I went and I checked and I audited my numbers, and I did contribute less to Social Security from year to year. You know, great Jude found me a few more write-offs there, so that lowered my tax liability. But, boy, it had a profound change in that final number that's on the front page.
Right. Oh, I guess I'm going to have to go compare then.
Okay. Let us know how that turns out, but I will also look this evening to see what other anomalies could cause that reduction, and we'll talk about it in the morning.
Thank you, Pat. All right. If you want to be after Pat, 504-260-0995. So you just poked around under the hood a little bit and found at least two things it could be.
Yeah. I was going to make a horrible comparison, but you know, you'd think vote counting is easy and simple, but it seems it's not. And keying in somebody's Social Security earnings is difficult as well, since there's anomalies there. Just making a comparison, you know.
Tabulating is not our strong suit always in American culture. Are they doing the
humans? Some humans have trouble with certain tasks and certain jobs for certain.
Is this database entities in Florida? I'm just looking for the fine print over here.
Does it give the county?
Yeah, I'm looking. Broward County? No, I'm saying.
Oh,
something about West Virginia.
Well, here's something I'll give you here. This isn't a negative, I thought it was hilarious. Okay, prior to last Tuesday's elections, and we know when that was, a few days ago, there were 33 Republican governors nationwide, 16 Democrats, and one independent. Following the nationwide voting, there's now 26 Republicans, 23 Democrats, and one race still undecided.
Florida.
Yeah. No. Georgia.
Oh, that's right.
Georgia.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
believe most Friday nights look better under neon or stadium lights.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the daily wrap, Life Financial Talk Radio. Phone number to call to join the conversations, 504-260-0995. Email info@gregoryricks.com or reach out to us through the Winning at Life app. And we do, I don't do this every show, but just to bring you up on some recent new members that we've welcomed to the Winning at Life Nation would be Ricardo, Glenn, Tom, Roger, Mark, Marty, Ken, and Joe. Welcome to the Winning at Life Nation.
Hey, it's a nice little roster there. Thanks for joining us. Busy Friday out there.
Next thought. The U.S. issued $19 billion of new 30-year debt last week. The bond carries a 3.375% coupon with a November 15th, 2048 maturity.
No pig?
30-year Treasury debt has been traded since 1977. And there's no fine print. I look, nothing about bartering for pigs.
Nothing porcine involved. Yeah. Well, hang on a second. Since 1977.
I'm just giving you a source from the U.S. Treasury Department. Don't go asking me questions about that. They've got all kind of length and bonds there. Here's one that may cause you some pain. Individual income taxes paid by American taxpayers have to increase by 46% in order to eliminate our $779 billion deficit, billion-dollar deficit from the fiscal year 2018.
No party seems to care about that either.
Yes, they're all upset about all kinds of other things, but not the debt. It's all fine. It's even going up to a trillion, but fine. It's like nobody. Do you know offhand what the next ceiling cap is?
22.
Well, you know what? It's going to be a discussion early in the year.
There's going to be a government shutdown next year. Well, actually, there's not, because they're all going to agree to keep. All right, I'll let you keep your spending if you let me keep my spending. And that'll be the compromise. And it's just the party of out of power that happens to be the fiscally conservative party on paper. But no one, when they get in a position of power, actually does anything about it. They all love their spending. I know
there's a lot of talk today about taxes going up there. It was after I got in from the office, there was something about the House is wanting to raise taxes. I didn't think they could do it by themselves, so I'm going to have to go back, catch up on that, what they're talking about on that. Just kind of confused, but then if we had taxes increased by 46%, what would be left for us?
Nothing. A lot of people would stop working. New investments would dry up, because what's the point? You wouldn't get your return off of it.
You know, that few percent, I guess, they gave to us this year is going to get taken back. And they'll probably try to get a few more percent out of all of us. But I think they need to cut some spending.
Well, I don't think tax cuts are the problem in the least. They got more money after the tax cuts than they did before. So it's not like they took less from us. This new tax regime got more money out of us.
Now, there's deficit spending because of that, but we do have, what's the unemployment thing you mentioned earlier, the lowest since 77?
Since 73.
Yeah, those drawing unemployment
right.
is the stat.
Is the lowest since 73.
And we have so many more people, so many more workers, and things are going pretty good right now. So they should have quite a bit more revenue coming in. So we'll just see where this goes.
Who's that on line one, Gregory? Is that Rick or Nick?
Rick.
Rick, Alexandria, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Hey, this is Rick. I wanted to call. Y'all was talking about China a little earlier, and I wanted to make a comment. I have been over a number of times to China to teach English, and I find that certain areas of China are very rich, and in certain areas are very poor. I don't. There's really not a middle class per se. But what else I was going to say is that actually the people do barter a lot in certain areas of China. But then again, you know, there's street markets, and he was asking, said something about you don't know if meat is readily available. But there is a lot of meat, but it is very expensive, and people cannot afford it. So, but there is some street markets with meat. There are pigs hanging and chickens hanging, and you can pick out a live chicken and have them kill it for you.
But a whole fresh live pig would be a fantastic luxury in that scenario. Is that what you're hinting at?
Yes, it really would be. That's a lot of meat. It would serve a lot of people because they eat small amounts of meat because of the price.
You know, and yeah, we were kind of joking around about that a little bit, but that's what I would think in the rural areas, the poor communities are more about bartering because they really probably don't have money. And that's just where that country's grown out of that. And I was looking at a video a little while ago, actually was showing over the past, I think 10, 20 years of showing how just from a view of China, showing how that it's grown over the years. Like, and I can't remember the cities, but one was just a rural port, small, and now it's Shenzhen, something like that. But it's one of the biggest ports in the world is what it's evolved to on how things change. Hey, question for you. Since you've seen those markets and all over, whenever I've seen that, they have the chickens hanging and stuff. Is that something where have you ever purchased a chicken that's been hanging on a nail for sale there in the market? You know, it just kind of worries me. It's like, okay, you know, we're used to our stuff being refrigerated and we know it hasn't sat out there in the heat all day.
Right. I haven't purchased the ones that are hung up, but they do have some little areas that have coolers, and the meat is actually cold. It's not frozen, but it's cold. And, you know, I look at it, and I did, you know, buy some of those meats, and that they were fresh, you know, and they have cages with little chickens or pigs in them, and you can purchase those, and they'll slaughter them at the site, and they'll cut them up for you.
Well, you can't get no more fresh than that.
Sounds delicious.
No, not at all. But the port that you're probably talking about is Shenzhen, China.
Yes, yes.
Across the bridge from Hong Kong, it's just within a few miles of Hong Kong, but anyway, that place was a fishing village just
right
about 30 years ago, and now it's a huge metropolis, and it's the second largest city in the country of China.
No kidding.
Yeah, that is just unbelievable. Ooh. Transformation that is made.
Well, Rick, your insight, very much appreciated. I'm so glad you called.
Thanks for the call.
All right. Well, that's our Chinese correspondent, Rick, in Alexandria.
Yes. And when you feel the need listening to us and China's discussion, call back. That was fun talking with you, Rick.
Well, I had a fantastic dinner, but now I'm hungry again.
Need some fresh chicken.
Huh? I really want to go eat out of one of these second, third world markets where they just have animals hung up. I want to try it. Look, if I get the runs, then it'll be an experiment, and we'll learn.
Hey, I've seen these open markets even in Europe and Barcelona and Italy, and it's quite different. It's not anything like I've seen here, but you know, it is refrigerated and so. But it's quite different to see, you know, the ham shanks, lamb shanks, just it what they're cutting and displaying the heads.
There's just not as much action in the back of Rouse's.
It's quite different, and it's an experience. Hey, if you want to talk to me, I'm a money manager, financial advisor. We've got the guided planning system to help figure out how much are you needing to save for retirement? Where are you now? What it's going to look like when you get there? Call my office. I do that. We've got a great support team, advisors, myself. I run the show. 504-832-9200 and gregoryricks.com.
Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Go enjoy the rest of your Friday night, but not too much, because we want you back here at 10 in the morning, if possible, to join us for our 3-hour spectacular. If that doesn't fit your schedule, we have all our shows on demand in the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.